Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder, and CEO of eComsy. And today, I bring you another special guest. His name is Afolabi, and he's the co-founder and CEO of Honu Worldwide, which is one of the top companies in the space when it comes to everything dealing with, you know, 3PLs, warehousing, customs, all the magic behind the logistics of an Amazon business. And I think the reason why I wanted to bring Afolabi today is because he did an amazing presentation on the cruise. We actually met in the online seller cruise by Carlos Alvarez about how much money people is wasting because they don't use the right custom strategy when it comes to importing to the States. When I saw that and I saw thousands and thousands of dollars people is basically throwing away, I say, man, I need to bring Afolabi to my podcast because I'm sure maybe some people watching my podcast is doing that and I need to save them. That's my duty. So, Afolabi, it's a pleasure. So welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Vincenzo. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited as well because, you know, you did your presentation so good in the sense that you did even real scenarios like they happened to you and to people that you know. So, and when I saw mistakes at the same time, they're so trivial and so easy to identify, but people just don't know about. It was crazy to know, you know, the thing that sellers are doing, which at the end of the day, if you really think about what you were explaining in the presentation, is the reason why some Amazon sellers fail. They think they have a margin, which they don't, then there's no coming back. Once you do that mistake once, it can be very costly and some people don't recover. So I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation. So before we jump into that, I think something I'm sure people want to learn more about is about who is Afolabi, how you got started into the e-commerce space, how you did your amazing company. So tell us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you very much. again, my name is Afolabi Oyerokun, and I've been selling on Amazon since 2002.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Those were times that Amazon was just moving into selling from just selling books into selling other products. So we were so blessed to be part of the first.
That's very nice.
I guess in the first wave of selling other products on Amazon, I think my wife just reached out to them and they say, yeah, we like to have your products. I was selling shoes at that time.
Interesting.
Like sneakers. You know, so there was the Seller Central was only by CSV.
Oh my God.
There's nothing to log into. It was really bad.
Yeah, I can imagine. Imagine back then. It was very, I bet it wasn't user friendly at all.
No, it's not. It's so many lines of codes you have to put in CSV file. Wow. If you make a little mistake, it's going to throw errors.
Wow.
It was very difficult, you know, but there was no FBA. We were fulfilling by ourselves. That's where we started from. And then in 2014, my friend brought me back and said, hey, now they have FBA. I'm like, what is that? It's like, Amazon, you know, they will help you fulfill everything by, you know, you don't have to do anything. So I'm like, oh, that's good. Let's go back. Let's do it again. So I got back into it. And, you know, I've been able to sell a few seven-figure private label brands. And, you know, we have our own 3PL facility that we have now, but we're building a bigger one. It's almost finished now. Actually, I visited the site last week. We will move in May of this year. So in about, you know, 3 months' time, we will move in into this facility. I have sourced and manufactured millions of products I made a lot of mistakes and
costly ones, I bet, as
I've learned the hard way, which is okay, you know. I think that's my master's degree or PhD.
Exactly, you're paying for that. Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. In the school of hard knocks, like street school, exactly. Right?
Exactly. Which is the best way to learn, to be honest, doing it, you know? That's it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very good. So that's such an amazing story. Like, wow, 2002. I don't even know what I was doing in 2002. Maybe I was playing with toys and stuff. So, great. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, I guess that's how you got into the business of, you know, doing 3PLs and customs and all that. Like, I guess it came from a need because you had all these businesses and you needed for yourself, I guess, right?
Yes, correct. Correct.
Nice. Now, let's start shifting towards the topic, which is, you know, the huge matrix that is basically customs, right? I feel like, unfortunately, most people, when it comes to importing, they just rely on either the manufacturer or a freight forward company, but they don't really put the time to figure out if they're doing things correctly. So let's start with that. Like, what are some of the things you're seeing in terms of mistakes that people are really doing things very bad when it comes to importing? Yeah.
So I would say, honestly, that it is the job of the freight forwarder and your customs broker to really be able to file your customs paperwork perfectly, accurately. Mm-hmm. You know, I myself, I wasn't looking into stuff like that. You're busy running your brands and everything. You think everybody else that you're...
You think you're paying a professional that knows what
exactly.
They're doing.
Yeah, they know how to do that. And you leave it in their hands, you know, thinking that everything is good. But in my own situation, maybe I just share my story of how this really started for me. And it's pretty much I was selling one of the brands I had was a school supplies brand. Mm-hmm. It was like a dry erase board that myself and my friend, we were selling on Amazon. We were doing very well. And, you know, accidentally, I was just looking at the customs documentation. No Amazon seller looks at the custom form. Nobody cares about customs form. But I don't know why. I just happened to look at my customs declaration form. It's called Form 7501. Every time you import products into the US, your freight forwarder must complete that form. That's how they tell the freight forwarder how much import duty to pay on your products that you're importing into the US. So I just happened to see this form by accident, and I saw the description of my product on that form, and it says something like some weird description, like a furniture or something like that. This is not a furniture. My product is not a furniture. So I'm like, okay. So I kept looking into that form. I'm like, I'm paying 31% in duty.
Wow.
For the products that were wrongly classified. It was the wrong product description, which makes the U.S. custom think I'm bringing furniture. I'm not bringing furniture. I'm selling dry erase boards. Right. Mm-hmm. So they assessed a 31% duty on my product, and I've been paying it for years. And I didn't realize it. So I'm like, oh my God, this is not my product description. So let me go find my real product description. Maybe my customs duty rate will be different. So I dug through, I did so many work research, you know, the customs system is so messed up, you know. I had to go through like almost sorting through 13,000 lines of code and just find what it is. And I found it, Vincenzo. I found it. I found the code that really described the product I'm selling. And guess what? When I looked at the duty rate for that product description, it was 3.5%. From 31% to 3.5%.
That basically makes a product that is losing money to become a super winner product. It's like 27%.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now, this is a product I'm spending over $1 million on at that time to purchase, because it was a seven-figure, very high seven-figure brand, and we were spending over $1 million easily. I think 1.2 or 1.125 million per year just to buy inventory, and I'm paying 31% of that.
300,000. Oh my god!
In duties. Yeah. So my duty came down from 310,000 to 35,000.
So out of curiosity, because I'm sure now people start say, okay, let me go check my HTC code. Let's see what's going on, and then they go and check it, and they realize it's wrong. Like, tell us, like, what is the action you can take as a seller? Like, is there even a way to maybe go back in time and claim what they overcharge you? Is that even possible, or that's gone?
It's gone.
Oh my god!
Because it is your error. The government will look at it like it's your error. You know, I'm guessing that might be a maybe 30 or 60 day grace period from the time you filed.
Most people go after that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's already passed, so you can't really do anything. That's why it's a very painful experience. And you can imagine somebody having eight-figure brands.
It's a killer.
And they're making that, the free forwarder or the shipper is making this mistake. They've been pouring monies down the drain for years. They just didn't know.
Yeah. Now, this is something very interesting, because as you say, like, most people, when you talk about HTS, like, they really get afraid, because start to get like, what is this abbreviation even means? It's very technical. Never done an import. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to make a mistake. So how realistically a seller can start with doing an exercise where they can identify the right code? Like, is there some advice you can give, like some tips when it comes to that?
So just in case, you know, people hear us now mentioning HTS or HS code, they don't know what it means. So maybe we break it down.
Exactly, is it?
So when you are bringing your products into the U.S., every product coming into the U.S. is classified by what they call the harmonized tariff system code, HTS code. So every product has an HTS code that describes that product perfectly, and it also determines what duty you're going to pay on that product. So the first step for people right now is go and look into your customs documentation for your past shipments.
Have a beer before doing it, just in case you are relaxed.
Go look at it right away to see what you're paying. So if you don't know, ask your forwarder and say, hey, can you give me my form 7501? And once they give it to you, just look at where it says HTS. You will see your code, and you'll see the description of your product, and then you're going to see the duty rate you're paying. And then I developed a tool. It's a free tool to use now for people to just log into, you know, sign up for tariffterminator.com, and just you see what it says, free HTS lookup. You punch in your HTS code into that field and just say, okay, I'm importing from China, and just say, look up my HTS code. It's going to show you what the HTS code that your forwarder has been using, what it really means. If it does not match with your product, that's the first problem. That's the first red flag. Like, oh my God, I'm selling coffee mug, and this HTS code that my forwarder gave me that he's been using is for hand towel.
Exactly.
In the customs declaration is showing hand towel. Like, oh my god, this is trouble. I had this guy the other day. He learned about my story, and he's like, hey Afolabi, can you help us check, you know, one of our products? And he was selling like a baby stroller. baby stroller, mm-hmm. baby carrier. And I said, okay, what HTS code did your forwarder, is your forwarder using right now to bring your products in? So he gave it to me and I punched it into this free tool that I created and it shares national flag. I'm like, HTS code you're using is national flag. Are you selling national flag? It's like, no, I'm selling baby stroller. Like, oh, you're paying 25% on national flag, but you're actually selling baby stroller. And
yeah,
so I found him the code for baby stroller and it was like 7%.
Wow.
I said, so you were paying 25% before. Now you're actually supposed to be paying 7%. So he was like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, and I think the crazy part about this, like the scenario we're picturing, overpaying, usually the worst thing can happen is that you lose the money. But I feel like the opposite can be even, you could have legal implications because imagine you'd be declaring a rate that's lower than what you were supposed to pay. Like, I know you share with us, like, in this case, they definitely can go back in time and charge you why you didn't pay. So tell us a little bit about that.
They'll go back 5 years. So this is really good, Vincenzo. The first thing is savings, right? If you discover you're using your forwarder is using the wrong code and they give and you finally found the right code, you may be saving. Even if you're not saving after they get you the right code, even if you're paying more or you're paying the same, at least you have a peace of mind that if the government stops your shipment and they look deeper into your shipment, you know that you're compliant. Because if they find out that you're using the wrong code, it's not good.
You don't want that.
You don't want that. They will go back up to 5 years of all the duties you have been misplaying. You'll be wrongly paying the wrong duty. They'll go back 5 years and multiply it by four. Yeah. Wow.
That will destroy any business.
It will destroy any business.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes.
When it comes to this, I guess, because I'm sure some people might be asking, let's say I have the wrong HTS code and I need to do the change. Like, let's say once you do the change, will the government then give you an opportunity to justify what the mistake was made, or it will trigger automatically the scenario we're thinking? Because let's say you actually want to fix it because you want to do things correctly, like, will they still penalize you, or how does it work?
No, they will not. Once you start using the right code, mm-hmm. I don't think it will trigger anything. Because see, the government is so busy with
exactly
a lot of shipments.
Thousands.
They really don't have. They only choose randomly who they pick. Okay. One ship, one vessel, ocean liner vessel carrying containers, one ship is carrying an average of 30 to 40,000 containers. And you're getting about 100 of those ships hitting the US every day, right?
Wow.
There is no.
You need to be very bad. You have to have a very bad luck. Yeah.
So the government goes after, I was talking to a tariff lawyer the other day, and he says, this is the way the government does it. First, they go after the big fish.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're crossing the 7 to 8 to 9 figure range, that's the one the government goes after first.
Yeah.
Because
there's big money to recover.
It's worth their time. So they go after those ones. And after they exhaust it, and they start coming down to those, you know, 7, 6.
The small fish.
The small fish.
Yeah.
But like what you said, I think it's a very important question that after you fix it, it wouldn't trigger anything. But at least you have the peace of mind that you're paying the right duty and you can sleep better at night. And another thing that is very interesting about tariff is it changes over time. Mm-hmm. It changes over time. So, like, there are some tariffs now that they the additional Trump tariff has been suspended for like, it could be suspended for the whole of Q1 and Q2.
And then he wins again.
They will bring it back again in Q3 and Q4. So before they bring it back again, please order your products.
Now. Yeah.
You know, so those are some of the you know, tips and tricks you can use to kind of game the system and take advantage of the loophole in the tariff system. Know the right time to order your products. And even when you're doing product research, I see many people, they go to, you know, Ilium 10 or Jungle Scout or Zone Guru. They go, you know, do their product research and like, yeah, this is a good product. I'm going to I'm going to launch this product. And then you import and you're
40% tariff.
And your customs guy says, oh, by the way, it's 40%. You're like, what?
That's why there wasn't any seller on page one. Yeah.
That's why there's no seller on page one. I remember something now, so I was selling a magnetic product and the duty rate was about, if I remember correctly, was about 8 or 9%. But so I was selling two magnetic products, two different brands. One brand was selling a blank magnetic sheet, very blank. There was nothing on it. Another brand that I owned was selling a magnetic sheet that they printed some artwork on it that you can stick on your fridge. That you write on.
Yeah.
I was paying two different duty rates for both products. I did not realize that there is a special duty rate for blank magnetic sheets. If it is blank, the government doesn't like it. They think it's anti-dumping. It's under the anti-dumping laws, right? Okay. But if you can just print something little on it, all of a sudden the rate drops from like 30% to 7%. By printing on the magnet. I'm like, okay, just print somewhere on the magnet.
Just that's do it.
You know, designed by Vincenzo or something.
Exactly. That's gonna give you good conversions, I can guarantee. So, I mean, these tips, of course, is a few of the options you can leverage. You know, the import law, because I mean, we know that also you can be very smart in terms of where you import the product from, because you were talking about in your presentation. That some people decide to move the manufacturing from China to Vietnam or to Mexico or regions to be clever with that. So tell us, of course, high level, like how that can also be a good play, because we see some big factories, some of them even moving the operations to Mexico because now they can justify certain tariff and avoid and be within some agreements between the US and Mexico. So how are you seeing this being more and more, I think, in the Amazon space? Do you really see people now leaving China because of that and being more smart with that?
Yes. I believe so. So I'll give you some really cool examples. So when we do tariff reclassification for brands, we tell them, hey, your product is, 22% when you're making it from China. But by the way, if you make it in Korea, it's duty free.
Wow.
And by the way, if you make it in Vietnam, it's duty free. Go figure out by yourself what that means. So that's one thing. The other thing is that a lot of Chinese factories are now moving to Vietnam and Mexico. So they are creating extensions of their factories in this country.
To justify what is coming, bro.
Exactly. Yes. Someone posted in one of our groups recently that Mexico surpassed China for the first time as the largest exporter into the U.S. It's mainly because a lot of these Chinese factories have set up in Mexico, and they're setting up all over to to make it like
it's a proxy easy. Play. It's a proxy
it's,
play.
It's a proxy play. It is a proxy. So it's a very good diversification tool. Once you know your HTS code and you see if it's not favorable for you, just go to another country. You know, mm-hmm. I was buying vinyls in one of the brands I sold. I was buying vinyls from China and it was like $2 or something.
Yeah.
And then the Trump duties came up, additional 25% if it's made in China. So I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Anyway, we kept selling and I found a company. I went to a trade show and I found a company from Korea and they have better quality vinyl. It was about maybe 10% more than China. And I'm like, oh no, I'm buying it in China for 10% less, you know. But I'm like, wait a minute. I'm paying 25% in duty if I bring it from China, but I'm paying 0% in duty if I bring it from Korea. So I'm still picking up another 15% if I make it in Korea and I'm getting a better product. I'm like, yeah, no worries, I'll switch to Korea.
You know? Yeah, and to be honest, at the same time, it could even be a branding play because we know sometimes in certain categories, the connotation of saying made from China is not seen as good. Like, let's say cosmetics. Like, if you say made from Korea, in Korea, exactly. It creates a higher reputation made in China. So there's also that factor as well, you know?
Yes. So,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Awesome.
And it also goes down to another strategy is the materials, right? Mm. So I was doing a reclassification for a friend of mine, and he's bringing in ceramic product. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and I'm like, okay, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between ceramic and porcelain? He said, well, they're different, but nobody can tell. I said, nobody can tell. So if you switch the material, nobody can tell. Your customers can't tell. It's like, no, they can't tell. I'm like, okay. If you continue to use ceramic, you're going to be paying 22% in duty.
Yeah.
But if you use porcelain, you're paying 4%. So
I think we have to make a change.
It's like, oh, I got what you're saying. I'm like, that's how it works.
Yeah, man. Yeah, material, such an interesting thing. Like material could be a science by itself. Like you could combine certain materials, they have the same functionality, but be very clever. So thank you for that tip. So it's been a pleasure. Like, I mean, I think we are just scratching the surface. This is a huge universe, and it's a pleasure that finally have you here, and you gave a glimpse about what people need to take care of in terms of importing. So I guess I want to use the last minutes or so, because I'm sure a lot of people may want to reach out and use your company, Hono Worldwide, because that's what you guys do on a daily basis, and to make sure they don't end up throwing 300K down the drain. Yes. So tell us a little bit about how they can work with you and reach out.
Since I went through my own situation where I found out I was pouring money out, I developed an in-house tool that we use now that we help brands and sellers to reclassify their product. So how it works is you give us your product details, and we will do the audit and analysis for free. And what we are looking for is if there is error in your customs filing, if you're overpaying, or if you're underpaying. Because if you're overpaying, you're losing a lot of money. If you're underpaying or your classification is just wrong, you might get into trouble with the government really fast. So those are the two things we're looking for. We do the audit for you for free. If we don't find any savings for you, or we don't find any corrections in your duty, you don't pay anything. It's risk-free for you. But if we find you savings, no matter how big the savings we find you, it's a flat rate. It's a flat fee for us doing it. it's flat fee of $4.99, but we're going to have a special for everybody.
Awesome. I love it. So we're using a special HTS code for my people, right?
Yes. Yes. So we're going to have a special for the lovely people, the Vincenzo Nation. We're going to have a special. We'll help you look at your products to make sure you're compliant and to make sure that you're paying the lowest duty possible. One thing I forgot to mention, Vincenzo, it was that me saving $275,000 in customs is just the one side of the story. When I was about to sell that brand, I sold the brand for 4.2 multiple. If I did not discover...
Oh my God, don't tell me that. I know where you're going.
If I did not discover this error, I would have lost...
Millions.
$275,000 times 4.2 is how much I would have lost in the deal. Millions.
Crazy.
So that's an incentive for people. You know, guys, if you plan to exit your brand eventually, please make sure you take care of your duties. You know, we'll check it out for you for free. If we don't find anything, you're fine. If we find something, we will let you know and say, hey, you know, we found you savings or we find errors. What more? We also built into our system, we will be monitoring your products for you all year round. Nice. We have a monitoring plan to just help you monitor your product. If we notice a change, we'll notify you immediately. Like, hey, your product, the duty is about to drop, you know, or your duty just dropped. You better order it now.
Yeah, put more money in PPC.
use the savings to do more PPC. Go hire some influencers. Go sell on TikTok. Yeah. Go do whatever you want. But exactly. Act now. Yeah.
Thank you. So it's been a pleasure for you. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to make sure to put all your information down in the description so people can directly find you. And in the meantime, it's been a pleasure. I'm sure we're going to have many more episodes as, you know, this topic is very interesting. So thank you so much. Looking forward to see you soon at upcoming events. Yeah, I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Before we forget, our special Vincenzo Nation, this deal is... you get $100 off our success fee. So instead of our success fee being $4.99, you get it for $3.99. And it's a flat one-time fee if we find you savings. Even if we find you savings of $300,000, it's the same one flat rate, right? And also, if somebody, we're moving into a bigger 3PL facility, if you need, if you're a wholesaler, if you're a private label, you need help, you need 3PL support here in the US, you need bundling, you need kitting, you need us to do product inspection for you. You need us to do returns, you know, Amazon returns management, or if you have your Shopify store, you want us to take care of your returns. We do it all. We have a special for that as well for Vincenzo Nation. Good. It will be $250. It will be one pallet free for the whole year. We will store one pallet for you for a whole year. That's like $250 or almost $300 in savings. And you can either get it as, you know, we can deduct it from your invoice, or you can take it, you know, monthly and stuff like that. So, you know, we're looking forward to work with you so that you guys can have it a better, you know, 2024 and go crush it.
Thank you so much for it. So I appreciate those offers. So I'm sure everybody now is going and typing and reaching out to you. So I'm sure that's going to be a very good help for all our audience. So thank you, and looking forward to having the next one. It's been a pleasure. Yeah,
you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.